is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Hey, good evening. A Monday night in Lansing. Michael Cohen here with producer Emily Scarlett. Welcome to the program. Some recent raids on medical marijuana facilities in Michigan is riling up advocates who say Attorney General Bill Schuette is stepping up his fight against them. I'll talk to one of these advocates about these new actions by local officials. And the Michigan Bankers Association says that Governor Snyder is being given the 2011 Economic Impact Award. I'll talk to the president of the organization about why and why polls are showing that the governor has seen a big drop in popularity among Republicans. But first, as the clock ticks down and lawmakers in Washington get ready to head home for the holidays, some issues that would have a big impact on Michigan residents still remain to be resolved before the end of the year. To talk about what is going to be addressed before the holiday recess, I'm joined by 7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg. Welcome to the program.
Michael, good evening to you.
So I guess Christmas is on the weekend this year, so that changes the dynamic of having days off during the week. When do you expect things to wrap up this year?
Well, they're shooting to have us out by the end of this week. That remains to be seen.
I think
the House is probably coming together, but it's hard to tell what the Senate will do.
Does that really add palpable pressure when the holidays are there and people want to get out of town?
Oh, it does. It always does, whether it was in the state legislature or in Congress. That is one thing that remains the same. When you get down to the wire for a holiday and you have families at home, you have spouses that are concerned about the schedule that's been made, and frankly, it gets the end of generally a long period of fairly intense activity in the legislative level.
Mm-hmm.
People do get down to the point of trying to come to a conclusion.
Right.
Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad.
I can imagine. Now, tens of thousands of jobless Michigan residents are facing the end of their unemployment benefits at the end of this year if you and your colleagues don't take action to extend federal unemployment benefits. I think it's something like 2 million people nationwide. So I guess my first question, is there any chance that you and your colleagues in the Congress would ever let that happen?
Well, not from this side of the Capitol. We have been working on it aggressively for several weeks now to make sure that that didn't happen, but that it wouldn't happen in a crucial way. And that's the crucial way is that this extension of unemployment benefits as well as a payroll tax holiday, that we would not, number one, hurt Social Security. And number two, we wouldn't hurt employers and the ultimate employment of job seekers. And I think it can be done by finding pay fors to make sure that any of the payroll tax deduction that is given for the holiday for payroll tax, that we don't take more and more from the Social Security Trust Fund, raid that, and make it more difficult for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be pay fors there. And then for unemployment insurance that we extend for a limited period of time and that we encourage states with greater latitude to make sure that fraud and abuse of the system isn't taking place and it's ultimately costing them and job providers and ultimately then costing jobs. And I think the package so far that we'll probably be voting on by Wednesday or Thursday of this week does all of the above.
I see. And Congressman Dave Camp's proposal to limit the number of weeks of federal unemployment benefits next year, is that going to be part of it?
That'll be part of it. Those that are presently on will not be impacted at present. They will continue. And yet there will be a justifiable opportunity for a safety net for those that genuinely have gone in an unemployment situation through no fault of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I think what a lot of taxpayers, employers, and employees alike have been asking, that if you're on unemployment benefits, that there will be an opportunity if states determine it, like Michigan, to do drug checks to make sure that we have unemployment insurance not going to pay for drugs, but rather meeting the needs of families, keeping food on the table, allowing people to move ahead further. It will require that people search for a job. It'll also require people that don't have a graduation certificate, GED, or high school graduation, that they move toward completing at least a GED. And I think these are all common sense ideas that a lot of my constituents in the 7th District are talking about, have expressed the desire to see, so that really the really needy, that person that through no fault of their own, downturn or whatever, is unemployed, is taken care of. But those that are gaming the system and using it as a way to stay off of work and let somebody else pay for them, that's taken care of as well.
I see. Well, you know, the advocates of unemployment benefits in general and having them in place and making sure they're robust say that the one thing about this money is it does get quickly and fully reinvested in the economy. People pay for their housing, for their food. Do you agree that at least that aspect of unemployment is a definite benefit to the larger state economy here in Michigan?
Well, I think certainly it does get spent, but which would most people have? I think most of your listeners would say we'd rather have a job than a government handout. And unemployment insurance is seen as that to a great degree. They would rather be employed, having gainful income, and using those resources to do the same thing that unemployment, and most Americans don't agree with former Speaker Pelosi, who said that unemployment is the way to grow the economy. I mean, that's absurd. The way to grow the economy is to produce jobs, to make it possible for employers to expand, to reinvest, and to provide jobs for people who then can take the same dollars, but now made by their own gainful employment, and put that back into the economy.
I'm talking to 7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg. In terms of this this payroll tax extension or tax cut extension, the fact that there's a Keystone Oil Sands pipeline provision in this bill, why is that? That sounds kind of like a strange addition to a larger national bill.
It'll produce jobs. Bottom line is for energy, for security, for defense capabilities, and more importantly, for jobs and a growing economy, this Keystone pipeline project is crucial for us. Now, the president has made the decision to pull away from that just a few weeks back. Why? Because he was appealing to his support base, those that are opposed for so-called environmental reasons to growing our own energy supply and being more independent from the rest of the world, and the types of jobs that would be created, good paying, in fact, significantly high paying jobs would be created to put this pipeline basically from Canada all across to the southern part of the United States is huge. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the perfect time to do that when it's related to unemployment insurance, payroll tax reductions. Let's put people back to work. Now, the only reason the president is opposing this is because he's appealing for campaign reasons to a small base, but nonetheless a base of his support. I would like to see the opportunity, because I think it'll pass the House, and I think it'll be in bipartisan fashion. I'd like to see the Senate put on the hot seat to take this up or defeat it, and then explain to the American people why they have turned down unemployment insurance extension and payroll tax holiday, plus why they've turned down thousands of jobs.
Well, you know, the president and Democrats, well, I should say the Democrats are quite a bit more optimistic now about the president's chances. I want to ask you about these Republican presidential candidates. It seems that Republican voters are having a hard time making up their mind on who they really want to run up against the president. What are your thoughts about the current options that are out there?
Well, I think they are the ones that are out there. They're the ones that have lined up in our system. As you know, Michael, we don't simply call out somebody and say it's your turn. It comes through a process, and the Republicans this time are resourced with the opportunity of having an open seat that they want to fill. And there's a group of individuals that are committed to this presidential race and are having at it. And with the number of debates that they've had so far, the American people will change. There will be an ebb and flow because each debate brings out something new about one person and changes the perspective on another person. But over the course of time, people are vetting these candidates, and I think I hope, and I think it will take place, the strongest candidate to take on our president for his reelection and ultimately for a new president to be put in place. From my perspective, it will be served well.
Well, Mitt Romney seems to have been in the mix near the top, but he keeps being overtaken. Is he, in your mind, going to be the likely candidate here?
You know, I don't know. I think using an overused expression from this past, though, weekend, I'm not betting on anyone right now. I think it's really too soon, We'll see what happens after Iowa and New Hampshire, and then how it turns out from there will be interesting. Because the last go around, Huckabee got in, and Mitt Romney's chances went away at that point. What happens here now that Newt Gingrich is the solid leader? Will he be pestered and hurt in the process of debates and the exchanges in the news media?
Mm-hmm.
Remains to be seen.
I just have to ask you one last question while I have you here, because this situation with Iran is fascinating. You know, the president today told Iran that we want our drone back. They've apparently found our drone flying over their airspace. I can't help but wonder, though, don't we have tracking devices on these things? And what, if so, why are we not taking this device out before they're able to pull out all our top secret electronic technology?
Well, that's a question you'd have to ask the president. I just had a group of representatives from a Middle Eastern country in my office this afternoon, and I asked them a pointed question. What's the perspective, and this is a friend of ours, what's the perspective that the Middle East generally has about the United States now? Is it one of respect? Is it one of fear? Is it one of disdain? And this group said it's certainly not a disdain, but there isn't the strong respect that it used to be of a country that was powerful, a country that stood with its friends, that didn't back away, and also would not necessarily take something like this lying down.
Would us dropping a missile on the drone before they got to it fully, would that be an outrageous thing to do?
Well, I'm not in a place to answer that question, but I would certainly think there should have been some mechanism or some policy in place that this would not fall in the hands of our enemies, with the ability of them, by them, to learn of processes, procedures, as well as component parts that could enable them to have technology for the future that would hurt us. And I guess, again, this is something that this administration is going to have to answer as to why, if indeed, this drone is in Iranian hands and it has not been immobilized and it hasn't blown up and the compounds that made it stealth weren't taken out. If that is the case, a huge mistake has been made.
7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to it again.
Absolutely. We will be right back with more. We're talking about medical marijuana facilities being raided very recently across the state, and we'll talk about what's likely ahead for these establishments. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.